This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jed Babin, who served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for President Bush number 41. We want to get his thoughts on Defense Secretary Robert Gates looking to trim about $100 billion from the Pentagon budget, including the closure of the Joint Forces Command at Norfolk, Virginia. We also want to get his thoughts on how the Obama administration has reacted to the killing of 10 foreign aid workers in Afghanistan, including six Americans. And Jed, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you.
First of all, let's start with the Pentagon budget trimming here. There's been, of course, a huge outcry that there's too much government spending, and so Secretary Gates says it's time to get the Pentagon further under control. What do you make of the overall effort, and more specifically, what do you make of his putting the Joint Forces Command on the chopping block?
Well, let's start with the latter first. I think that the Joint Forces Command may be something that they can do without. You've got a big bureaucracy in the Pentagon. There's places you can cut. And Joint Forces Command, though it had a very important mission to train the services to work better together, generally I think the military has gotten that message, so it may not be a big deal. I mean, it's not like he's cutting a combatant command or something like that. The real problem is the big issue here is that Gates has made other cuts which have not any analytical basis and really do threaten national security. He's terminated or canceled a number of key weapon systems that are, well, not just myself, but a lot of other experts say are essential for our future security. So overall, I think Gates is doing a pretty bad job. But this in particular, I can't condemn because it just may well work out fine.
Well, let's go down the path that does trouble you a little bit here. Jed, what are some of the weapon systems that he thinks are unnecessary that you and a lot of others believe are critical?
Well, you can go for a whole lot of other things. You know, you start with the F-22, the Raptor, the fifth-generation fighter that we were producing. The Air Force said that at least 250 to 350 were necessary for a moderate-risk force. That means we are now at a high-risk force. High risk of what? High risk of losing air superiority, losing a war. He's terminating the C-17, which is our primary airlifter at this point. If you don't have airlift, you just can't get where you need to get. So there are a lot of things like that out there. I mean, frankly, he canceled the new combat search and rescue aircraft, which, you know, really puts the Air Force at a disadvantage if you have somebody shot down or crashed behind enemy lines, you know, which is still very much possible, even in places like Afghanistan. I think it's a moral obligation to do everything you can to rescue the guy. You know, we just don't have the capability right now. We're not going to have it because the CSAR aircraft was canceled. I could go on. I mean, the DD-1000, DDX-1000, the Navy's new combatant ship, was limited to three ships rather than 12, which the Navy needed. This is a ship which has really unique capabilities and capabilities for growth in the future. It's the first stealth ship for the Navy, and you know, we are not going to have as many as we think we need. So this is a very bad approach. It lacks the rationale that you would like to see in any defense cuts, which is basically to start out with the threats that you have, measure what you have to answer them, and fill in the gaps. Gates didn't do that, so you know, there's a whole pile of these things out there that I think we really need to reassess whether we need them, and that has not been done yet.
Jed, let's go back to some of the areas that might be ripe for trimming the fat a little bit. You said you wouldn't be overly upset to see the Joint Forces Command go. And you also mentioned there's a lot of bureaucratic garbage, basically, at the Pentagon. What are some areas that could be targeted that perhaps are not being targeted?
Well, I think overall, the civilian workforce and, you know, some of the military who are spending time in bureaucratic jobs, I mean, having spent some time in the Pentagon, I can tell you there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot more people than you probably need to do the job. The military is asked to do a lot of things that it should not have to do. There are a lot of relief issues. There are things like medical research. I mean, for heaven's sake, I'm all for research into, for example, breast cancer. But whether that should be in the military budget, I'm pretty sure it should not.
Jed, let's talk about the war on terror, which, of course, is the main focus of the military right now. And over the weekend, we learned about the 10 medical missionaries that were killed in Afghanistan by the Taliban. The Taliban fully taking responsibility for that. And we haven't heard directly from the president yet, but Secretary of State Clinton spoke out on Monday condemning the attacks and saying there was no justification for such a thing. But then she made this statement, which has certainly raised a few eyebrows.
Terror has no religion. And these acts are rejected by people all over the world, including by countless Muslims here in our country, in Afghanistan, and everywhere else.
The Obama administration has certainly made great semantic pains to try and insulate the larger Islamic world from the world of the terrorists. Do you get the sense that that's doing much good?
Well, of course not. You know, we are in not just a kinetic war, we are in also an ideological war. Whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, Islam is not just a religion, it's a system of government. And it's an ideology, which basically means an integrated system of beliefs that can form a system of government, and that is deeply embedded in Islam. So she is flatly wrong. There are a lot of things about Islam that encourage jihad, and quite frankly, I think it's very much a cowardly approach that the president has taken. If you look at the national security strategy they released a couple of months ago, they have outlawed basically the use of the term jihad or even Islamic terrorism in those documents. If you know, it's like Harry Potter being the only one in the movie who can say the name of Voldemort. Ooh, you know, if you can't even name the enemy, what chance do you have to defeat him? It is really a pathetic weakness in this administration, quite frankly, traceable back to George Bush. George Bush spent so much time saying we were not at war with Islam that he really didn't define who we are at war with.
What would be the smart way for the president to articulate that?
Well, I think if it's not just the smart way, it's really the only way. He has to recognize that there are tenets of Islam that encourage, well, require, really, violence and hegemony. I mean, it's just a fact. If you read the Quran, if you read Islamic law, these things are an obligation under that religion. So you have to start with the idea that there is a compulsion that the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, et cetera, all trace back to Islam. And to say that there is nothing in Islam that encourages terrorism is just ludicrous. So he has to recognize that. You have to recognize that this is an ideological war in addition to a kinetic war. And, you know, just like we defeated Islamism, we must be defeated just as we defeated communism and Nazism, and pretty much in the same terms.
Well, Jed, unfortunately, our time is up. Two very important topics. Thanks so much for your insight, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Jed Babin was a Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for the first President Bush. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.